Vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. The question was, should we speed up the cooking process by using hot water out of the tap, which we can then put on the boil quicker? That was the question. Should we do that? And his response was, no, we shouldn't do that, because the hot water out of the water system has the greater potential for absorbing these metals from the plumbing system. Yeah. I don't know how much we have to worry about it. Anyway. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63, Lord Krishna fights with the Banasura. Text number 28. Tapto ham te te jasatu sahena. Shanto grinat yulbananenu jvarena. Tavat tapo dehinam tengri mulam. No se veranjavat asanu badaha. Tapto ham te te jasadhu sahena. Shanto grinat yulbanena jvarena. Tavatta po dehinam tengri mulam. No se viranjava dasanu bhadaha. Tapto hitta tapto ham te te jasadhu sahena. Shanto grinat yulbanena jvarena. Tavatta po dehinam tengri mulam. No se viranjava dasanu badaha. Aham, I. Te, your. Tejasa, by the power. Dhusahena, insufferable. Shanta, cold. Ugrena, yet burning. Ati, extremely. Ulbanena, terrible. Jvarena, fever. Tavat, for so long. Tapaha, the burning torment. Dehinam, of embodied souls. Te, your. Ankri, of the feet. Mulam, the soul. That's S-O-L-E, the soul. Na, do not. U, indeed. Seviran, serve. Yavat, as long as. Asha, in material desires. Anubaddha, continuously bound. I am tortured by the fierce power of your terrible fever weapon, which is cold yet burning. All embodied souls must suffer as long as they remain bound to material ambitions and thus averse to serving your feet. Purport. In the previous verse, the Shiva Dwara stated that those who live by violence will suffer similar violence at the hands of the Lord. But here, he further states that those who do not surrender to the Supreme Lord are especially liable to punishment. Although the Shiva Dwara himself had acted violently up till now, since he has surrendered to the Lord and rectified himself, he hopes to receive the Lord's mercy. In other words, he has now become the Lord's devotee. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gadim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, in this, this is the end of the prayers of the Shiva Dwara. And he is surrendering, he's offering himself in humility to the Lord. There are various ways in which the devotees offer themselves in submission, if you like, and well, maybe not in submission. Submission is one of the various ways in which one can offer oneself in prayer. Dainyo Vaidika is described. It's interesting. The example that's given by the Shiva Dwara is description or an example of just how expansive and how broad and deep the Vedic view of the world or of the universal creation, universal affairs, actually is. In the beginning, he mentions, in the beginning of the prayers, he mentions how he offers his obeisances and respects to the unlimited Lord, who's the super soul, the pure and complete consciousness, the cause of the cosmic creation, the maintainer and ultimately the destroyer, and how the Lord is that unseeable or unimaginable personality, that subtle force, if you look at it from the impersonal point of view, or that subtle personality that the Vedas all refer to. Then he mentions that, so he's just been defeated by the Narayana Dwara, and he's tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, his master, but he couldn't, even though he had taken shelter of Lord Shiva, he still couldn't deny and avoid the force of the Narayana Dwara. Extremely powerful. And he's saying here, you know, the your potency, he's praying to the Lord, your potency, the Narayana Dwara, is so powerful. Cold, right, yet burning. I don't know if you've ever touched something that's really cold. You know, when you touch something that's really cold, it burns, actually. You go, whoa, it feels like it's burning. So he's been unable to be. He's not gained the protection of Lord Shiva, and so now he's surrendering to the Lord, and he's making the point that you're the controller, you're the maintainer, you're the creator, you're the destroyer, you're the director of everyone and everything. You're pure consciousness. Whereas, and then he contrasts, yes, there's a contrast, and you know, this is a very common vehicle for conveying information, especially within the Bhagavatam, within the Vedas. There will be a description of one thing, and then there's the opposite given on the other hand. Then there's a description of the living entity, who by contrast is bound up. Here the word is anubaddha, which means bound up by one's karmic reactions. And it's interesting how this is described here, because the example is given that the body, and it's described here, time. Actually, it's a description of the creation, really, of the total creation, but it's given in relationship to each of the living entities. In that, each one of us is bound up by these features: time, fate, karma, the propensities to act, the body, the life air, the false ego, the various senses, and all of these. He says here, all of these combined together, including the living entity, are reflected in the living entity's subtle body. And of course, from the subtle body comes the gross body. And he likens this to a tree. A tree. The body is likened to a tree in a very interesting way. The example is given of a tree which produces flowers and then fruits, and then fruit, from the fruits come seeds. And it's interesting because this is how trees replicate themselves. The tree produces flowers, fruits, seeds, then that then produces future trees. So in this way, the trees keep on replicating themselves. But the and so the example is given that the material body is working in an endless cycle. So you get one body, that body is destroyed, and the seeds of karma that are sown in this body from the actions that we perform create the seed of the next body that we then have to take birth in. Right? It's a very nice example of the tree and the seed. So the body is likened to a tree, which and this is where, you know, because, you know, sometimes people, very often, most people, don't understand, you know, why are things happening to me? You know, how is it that we get reactions from our past activities? Because this is how it works. It's described here. This is all working on the subtle platform. You know, modern physicists and scientists pretty much can observe very much of the external phenomena, but it's very difficult to look at the subtle workings of the creation and the subtle workings of the mind and the intelligence and the false ego, and how these are producing our karma in the future. But the example is given very simply here. The activities that we perform in this lifetime help create impressions on our subtle being. So then, as it's explained in the Bhagavad Gita, the culmination of all of our activities are compressed or combined in our subtle body at the time of death. And so therefore Krishna says, whatever you think of at the time of death, then that state of being you'll attain for the next body. In fact, the subtle vehicle is with us all of the time in the gross body, and it's the subtle vehicle that carries the soul. Just as we are carried in the gross body in one lifetime, the subtle body then carries the even more subtle spirit soul into another body. And simply put, you know, if you've developed the consciousness, this is a very simple explanation of it, or an understanding of it, if you've developed the subtle consciousness of a pig, or not so subtle consciousness, shall we say, of a pig, then next lifetime, you will find yourself in the womb of a pig mother. The pig father, the boar places the semen within the womb of the mother, and then the subtle body then is, and the living entity, the spirit soul is described, is carried within the semen and then placed within the womb of his next mother. And then around the subtle body, the gross body is created. So if you've got the subtle body of a pig, then in the next lifetime you get the gross body of a pig. It grows around your subtle body. Right? And this is likened to a tree. This is the example, a very nice example that's given by the Shivajwara to illustrate this point, that the body is like a tree which produces seeds, and those seeds then become the subtle, bija in Sanskrit it's called, bija, subtle form. That subtle form is basically desire. So he's saying, I take shelter of you. I take shelter of you because the living entity is caught up in this cycle of birth and death according to the reactions of his past activities. And it's impossible for him to get out of it. It's impossible to get out of that cycle of action and reaction unless one takes shelter of you, he's saying to the Lord. Right? The only way to remove oneself from this reaction of action and reaction is to take shelter of Krishna. It's mentioned here. Tvanmayi shatan nishidham prapadye. I surrender to you, basically. Of course, this is in the Bhagavad Gita. Mameva ye prapadjante mayami tam tarantite. If one wants to overcome daivihiye shagunamayi mama maya turatiya, it's impossible, Krishna says, actually to overcome the influence of the material energy. But if one wants to get free from it, then one has to basically surrender to Krishna. Mameva ye prapadjante. And it mentions here, your pastimes are performed in such a way so that you liberate the devotees or you cut down the demons. In the next verse, the verse that we discussed yesterday. You perform pastimes to maintain the demigods, the saintly persons and the codes of religion. So those who surrender to the Lord are elevated gradually out of material existence. Whereas those who don't surrender to the Lord, they are pushed down into the grosser, more bodily concept of life, of existence, and they remain in the material realm. So, Shivajwara in this verse is saying, you know, for as long as one maintains this desire to act independently from you, then one has to suffer, basically. Tavat tapa dehinam tengri mulam na seviram yavat asu anubandaha. So, na. Sevaran means those who don't take to devotional service. In other words, those who don't surrender to the Lord, they have to then be prepared to experience the burning sensation of pleasure and pain in material existence. You know, in the morning we sing the samsara dhavanala lida loka, you know that. Even though it's very cold, the Narayanajwara, still it's a burning sensation. Actually, it's interesting. Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book how, when a person dies, then they get a very, very high temperature. Like it's to the Shiva Jwara, you know, for destruction, get a very, very high temperature. But then after that, everything goes cold. Very cold. And in fact, Tithiraj was telling me this is what happened to his mother just a couple of weeks ago. His mother passed away. And he said to me, he says, it's exactly, it was the first time that he'd seen, so he had an opportunity to witness somebody leave their body. He says, just like in the Bhagavatam. Naturally, the Bhagavatam is correct. So, everybody who's bound up in material existence, who maintains their independent attitude or their independent mood, if you like, are basically fated to accept this punishment, which is meted out by the material energy. I am tortured by the fierce power of your terrible fever weapon, which is cold yet burning. All embodied beings must suffer as long as they remain bound to material ambitions and thus averse to serving your lotus feet. So basically, Shivadvara is presenting himself and he's saying, you know, you protect the devotees and you destroy the demons. And even though I've been acting as a demon, now I want to surrender to you, so please protect me. Don't destroy me. Now I am surrendering to you. And you know, he's presenting himself in this mood of Daimyo Vaidika, which is a humble mood, is how the devotees present themselves remembering their sinful activities. It's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion how the devotee offers prayers, thinking of their past misdeeds and embarrassed by their position, their unfortunate position. My dear Lord, I am very unfortunate. I come before you having left a trail of, you know, destruction behind me, and pain and suffering, inflicted upon myself and upon others. So now I am a soul surrendered unto you. Please protect me. This is the mood of one of the moods of a devotee in offering prayers, as mentioned. Of course, Rupa Goswami says that when the devotees present themselves in such a way to Krishna, then naturally Krishna is inclined towards the devotees and he protects them. But of course Rupa Goswami makes a comment, interesting comment. He says that because one has received the protection of Krishna, that doesn't mean that he can go off and do whatever he likes. Do his nonsense again. You know, it's like using Krishna as a doormat. This is a seventh offence in chanting Hare Krishna. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. In other words, you know, it's described how the holy name of Krishna has great potency and can remove any amount of sinful reactions. Krishna is the controller of the material energy. And so if one surrenders to Krishna, he can remove all of the reactions of our past karmas, if you like. But one shouldn't take advantage of, you know, there are those who, you know, go to church and pray for forgiveness And then once having gotten forgiveness for their sins, then they just go back out on Monday and do the same things again. You know, the example is given of, it's like an elephant taking bath. He cleans himself, but then when he comes out on the bank of the river, he picks up some dirt and throws the dirt back on him. So one is not to take advantage of the mercy of Krishna and his ability to remove all of our sinful reactions and then not surrender. You know, the process of surrender basically is something that is a continuum. It's not something that you achieve at some particular point in time and then you can just take it easy. Oh, okay, now I've surrendered. That's good enough. And in fact, actually, some devotees make a philosophy out of that. You know, they read in the Nectar of Devotion, it says here that if you follow the Rath cart on the Rath Yatra day, then you'll be liberated. Right? So, you know, I'll be liberated. Or even, you know, there was a, probably still, well, I don't know how active they are, but there was a group of devotees in Melbourne who would do all sorts of things, but follow a codicil. Right? Let's follow a codicil. We'll follow a codicil and then on a codicil we'll be relieved of all of our sinful reactions. Try a codicil. But then who knows what else they would do on other days. And then you know, you see the end result is that people who do this kind of thing, they eventually become a little bit disturbed, crazy. So the process of surrendering to Krishna is not something that you do one day and then don't have to do the next, but rather, especially for the sadhaka, it is a process of refinement and development, whereby one is trying to surrender to Krishna more and more. Of course, that can be, as we were discussing the other day, that can be painstaking. No? The anattas or the material attachments. What is it? Hridaya durbalyam. Attachment to things not related to Krishna can be very strong. Even we were discussing the other day when we were learning the anattas, going over the anattas. We may know the process of devotional service. We know how to act, but still, within the heart, there's a strong attachment to things not related to Krishna. And so that may deviate us. Even though we know it's the right thing to do, still we think, oh, it's too hard. Why is life so tough? Krishna is supposed to make life easy for me. I've surrendered to Krishna. How come Krishna hasn't made life easy for me? Right? The reason why Krishna hasn't made life easy for you is because actually you've decided to make life hard for yourself by being still attached to material things. Right? This is the weakness of heart. Or, what was the other one? Deceitfulness. And fault finding. Right? Thinking that I'm better than I actually am. And then seeing faults in others. Oh, you're not as good as me. Or being envious of others. These are some of the obstacles that devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness, following the process, but come up against, you know, we come up against barriers in our progression towards Krishna. So we have to be mindful of these subtle impediments. They're subtle. They're to do with attitude, right? Attitude. It's all about attitude, and the attitude has to be that I am a soul surrendered to you, Krishna, but still with some faults. But, you know, it's said that even if a devotee makes mistakes, even performs sudaracharo, still he's considered to be on the path of perfection. But some, what is it? Pratyaksam. Samyag hi vyavasito hi saha. Yes, he's on the path of perfection. It's what's called the path of perfection. But that doesn't mean that just because a devotee is on the path of perfection that there aren't going to be obstacles. And the obstacles generally are, not generally, the obstacles are these anattas, our attachments. Enviousness, and the other one, svapratishta, looking for just, you know, profit, adoration, distinction. Which is the opposite of what Lord Chaitanya recommends. Amanina, manadina. He says, we're not looking for respect, but we should be respectful to others, for example. So, in offering ourselves to Krishna in this mood of humility, one hopes to remain on the path of perfection and making progress in devotional life and avoiding actions and activities that are going to impede. Because as Shivajwara says here, you know, so long as we hold on to this desire to act separately from Krishna, then we have to suffer. Basically, it's a very simple philosophy, not very complicated. But if we surrender to Krishna, if we can remain in that mood of surrender, prapadye, then Krishna will protect us. We can be sure if there's some difficulty, then it's Krishna revealing our inadequacies. Because it may take even lifetimes to realize that. The tendency sometimes is the devotees blame Krishna. Oh, Krishna, how come life is so hard for your devotees? But what is happening is actually Krishna is revealing to us our weaknesses and the reality. Here's why we're in the material world, because of these attachments, because of this affection for material, because of wanting to enjoy separately. Because of, and as a result of that mentality, then creating suffering for ourselves. And for others also. For the devotees, the difficulties are actually an opportunity to surrender more. And to be more introspective. You know, tendency is to blame everybody else. It's his fault, her fault. But a very sincere devotee will look in internal, just as a Shivajwara is looking. You know, we are creating our future from our current actions. So it's our fault, not your fault. Okay, you're the cause and everything, but ultimately it's our fault. The material creation has been created not because Krishna likes to see people suffer, but rather because that's their desire. They want to act independently from him, and so therefore the facility is given. The means by which we get out of that is through the surrendering process. So the Shivajwara is praying to the Lord, I am now surrendered to you, please protect me. And in the next verse, then he's accepted by the Lord and is given a benediction, which should be enthusing for all of the devotees, but I won't go into it any further than that because it's spoiled tomorrow's class. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
special safety it is that new mood of humility, which you can express it, that sense of humility. There's a nice story about the competition between the wind and the sun. The wind is blowing and blowing and blowing to take the coat off the bat. But then the sun comes out, the coat comes off easily. Krishna Suryasama Anandakara. That as we approach the Lord, if we take that position of surrender and not trying to be forceful, then things happen in a very natural way. So it's, as you say, an ongoing process, isn't it? To surrender is a process.
Yes, interesting you mentioned that. Krishna makes arrangements. Something happened to me the other day. I've forgotten. Well, obviously, wasn't that profound because I've forgotten what it was. But along those lines, I've forgotten what it was. But yes, it's a fact. Krishna does make arrangements for the devotees that you'd be surprised. Yes, Dave.
The thing about this thing of surrender, if you're performing bhakti, are you surrendered? You're not thinking about like karma. Like for example, you're talking about fruit trees and that sort of thing. So if you had a tree that gives trails and fruits and you gave them all.
If you gave them what?
You gave them all, you offer them all to Krishna.
Yeah.
Every single flower and fruit.
Yeah.
And you did that in knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bhakti?
I would think so, yes.
Now, if you held back a few fruits and flowers...
That's only, for yourself?
Yeah.
Well, that's called mixed.
So but then someone doesn't have knowledge of Krishna, but they have knowledge of, they want to, their heart wants to give.
If they give to a devotee, that's called agyata sukriti. They get the benefit from it. Even if one, it's just devotional service, even if it's performed unknowingly, still you get the benefit.
Does that come under bhakti?
Yes, you're right. It's called agyata sukriti, unknown. That's how one makes advancement. We hear the holy name, we take prasadam, we don't really know much about Krishna. I mean, it's arguable that many of us are still performing agyata sukriti, even in the association of devotees. And in fact, that's why, what is it? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha Sava, Shastra Koi, Labha Matra, Sadhu Sangha Sava, Siddhi Hoi. That the Shastras proclaim that the association of the devotees is the most beneficial, because by the association of the devotees, we make spiritual advancement without even knowing it. There's obviously going to be a reason for that. Things don't happen by coincidence or by chance.
Well, listen to Prabhupada, he said when someone checks someone's devotional service, that's actually violence.
Well, look, if you're referring to me.
No, just in general.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Of course, and that's why I know what you're talking about. And I think you have to be very careful in assuming that somebody is checking your devotional service. You have to be very careful in assuming that. You really have to look at, and especially if that particular person has been performing devotional service for many, many years, is in helping many, many devotees make advancement in Krishna consciousness, or at least trying to, and is working successfully with those devotees, then you have to look at your own situation if it's not working. Because there are so many people for whom it is. And if that person also is making progress, then you have to look, hang on a second. All of these devotees are making progress. I'm not. Ooh, I better look at myself. That's the mentality of a devotee. They're not that we then look, find fault. It's very easy to find fault in the temple president. Very easy. or blame the guru. You know, this is what happens. Whenever there's difficulties, then people want to blame, you know, ultimately put it, let's pin it on Krishna.
How could that person actually become serving
him? He has to listen carefully to the instructions that are given and then he should follow them. Because what happens is, basically, I can tell you, instructions are given and they're not followed. Agreements are made, they're not kept. And when that happens, then you'll find there will be... I know it myself, I can speak from personal example, personal experience. If you make agreements with people and then you don't follow them, then you'll be obstructed.
Could you give me an example?
I don't want to get into details. I could give more than one example, but I don't think that's fair. It's not fair on you. But that's the reality. And, you know, there are devotees here who are testimony to that fact, since you bring it up. And we're talking philosophically. Right? We're talking philosophically here.
Well, this is
the Bhagavatam. Okay, you know what I'm saying? This is the Bhagavatam. And this is the philosophy. I'm only presenting the philosophy. This is our Bhagavatam philosophy.
Speaking for myself, we have to take up individual responsibility in spiritual life, and we choose the behaviour, therefore we choose the consequences of that behaviour.
What I suggest you do is have a chat with Maharaj, and then he can come and talk to me, and then we'll try and sort something out, okay? I think it's very important that we work on this situation and improve it. You know, it's a difficult time. It's quite obvious. But as in all difficulties, if we work together, we can solve the problem. You know, there's no problem that the devotees can't solve so long as we take shelter of Krishna and Prabhupada and work together.
I've got a vegetable that I want to give you.
That's a very, very simple way of putting things.
Yep.
That's why you have a chat with Maharaj and then he can come and talk to me. Okay? We can sort it out.
Promise?
I'm here to serve the devotees. I've been doing this for the last 30 years, or 29 years. The temple president is 17 years. That's my service. I'm here to help to solve devotee problems. Of course, the devotees think I'm most of the problem sometimes. But I honestly think that, you know, because I have been doing the service for so long, that I have a little skill in doing it properly. A little bit. And I think that's evidenced by the fact that there are most devotees who can work with me. There are a minority, and it's a very small minority, and I can probably count them on two fingers, or three fingers, or at least one hand, of those who can't. I'm sorry, but that's the facts. So if we want to get into details, then I think you should have a chat with Maharaj about it, and then we'll start to negotiate and work something out. So that everybody benefits. We can do it. I know we can do it.
What are the anger for the surrender?
Of surrender?
Yes.
Whoa, that's another series of Bhagavatam classes, I think. But not very difficult. First thing is, you have to take shelter of a spiritual master. Right? Then you have to take instruction from them. Then it's mentioned you have to be prepared. This is the hard bit starts. Take instruction. Then this is in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion. Then you have to be prepared to accept things which ordinarily you might not want to accept. This is the beginning of the 64 items of devotional service. So you take shelter of a spiritual master, you inquire from him, you receive instructions, and then Rupa Goswami says, you better be prepared to accept things that ordinarily you wouldn't want. Then the next thing he says is, you better be prepared to give up things that ordinarily you would like to keep. So there's a very clear warning right at the beginning. No fine print, it's right at the top of the agreement. Take shelter of a spiritual master, inquire from him, accept instructions, and beware. Right? Because you'll have to do things that ordinarily you might not want to do, and you have to give up things that you want to keep. So that's right there in the beginning. Let's just leave it at that. That's a good start. And of course, there are so many prescriptions. And of course, this is why the Nectar of Devotion is such an important book, because it gives us all of the details on, how to make progress. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do that.
Implementation.
Yes, implementation is always the hardest thing. And so there's where surrender comes in, because, I remember when I was a lot younger devotee, when I first came to the temple, my mind was telling me, go to the rock and roll show. But my intelligence was saying, no, stay with the devotees. My mind was saying, why don't you just go off and smoke a bit of dope? Yeah, sounds like a good idea. My intelligence was saying, no, don't do it. So you've got almost this feeling of schizophrenia, where you've got one person saying, do this, another person saying, no, don't do that. So that's why the Association of the Devotees was very interesting, actually, because I remember in that period of my spiritual career, which is very young at least, at that stage, then the devotees were always preaching. I remember Bhagavata Shraya always saying in his class, stay in the Association of the Devotees. The only thing I remember was, stay in the Association of the Devotees, stay in the Association of the Devotees, don't leave the Association of the Devotees, stay in. So, if you stay in the Association of the Devotees, then what does it mean? You engage in devotional service. You follow the basic principles. You're not going to be, even though there's, these voices in your head saying, do this, do this, do this, the sober and cooling Association of the Devotees keeps you engaged in devotional service and on the path of, surrender, basically.
What you're saying is compassion is very important.
Compassion? Yes. And see, the devotees are the embodiment of that. Even when they're chastising us. Right? Even when they're chastising us. You can see that. Sometimes Prabhupada chastised his disciples very heavily. Some disciples he didn't, because he knew that they couldn't take it, but sometimes Prabhupada really chastised them. And that, they, took that as great mercy, because it was Prabhupada's, correcting them and keeping them on the path. So even when the devotees are getting on our case, and we feel miserable, oh, what's wrong? Why aren't I making any, why are they all picking on me? That's actually Krishna's great mercy. Special mercy, special attention. Huh?
No compromise.
Well, maybe a little compromise. Don't want to break people. Just like, parents show their affection to their children by chastising them. The children don't appreciate it, though, until later. Yeah, sure, go and drink all the bottles in the sink cabinet. Go and play on the highway. That's not very compassionate. Just let them do what you like. They have to be chastised. But that's a sign of affection. Well, I think we should finish here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai.